Welcome to the Oh For Food's Sake podcast, where we unwrap the struggles of working in the food industry so that you can thrive in what you do best while sustaining a rewarding and fulfilling career or business. We are your hosts, Lucy Wager, food industry consultant,
and Amy Wilkinson, coach and facilitator, bringing you our expertise of starting a food brand and working in the food industry for the last 20 years. Our podcast is for you to find new ways to cope with the daily struggles, but mostly to inspire you to work on what's not working, to ultimately improve your career or business long term. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Oh For Food's Sake podcast. We are here today to talk about insights, and this subject came up because I used to work in I've worked in development. And when I moved into insight and category, that's really when I started to understand the importance of insights at a level that I never had before. And I felt like we needed to share that with other departments.
Yeah, I didn't really understand the importance of insight fully until I came out of sort of the big corporate world and realised that when I set Podology up, I had acted on an insight, which hadn't been sort of delivered to me from the, you know, category insights team. And Amy and I were having this conversation about how startups often act on deep insights, which bigger companies kind of really look kind of enviously at. And so it started this really interesting conversation, didn't it, around the importance of insights.
And and often actually with a startup, it's like particularly like with your case, but and I know a lot of the people that you work with, it's an insight that is because they are the consumer, you were your consumer, weren't you? You knew there was a place for free from desserts, and you knew you had this inherent need for something sweet, and you were still foodie and all of those things, but you couldn't eat dairy. And you know, that was an insight.
But exactly. And it's often, as you say, it's often a consumer need when it's a startup that drives that. And it's a like sort of really emotive drive that gets that startup off the ground. And it can often be ahead of the curve.
Yes.
Because in bigger businesses, it takes much longer to potentially identify that.
Yes.
Or convince the business that that's
because they're getting bogged down in data. And we'll come on to talk about the difference between data and insight and stuff.
So first of all, because you are the insight expert,
no
between
pressure.
You and I, I think it would be really useful because I know, well, we do, we have listeners of all levels within the industry and people that are new into the industry as well. But I think it'd just be really important to actually talk about what the definition of insight, what is an insight?
Yeah, well, obviously we always start with dictionary definitions, and the dictionary definition is the capacity to gain an accurate and deep understanding of someone or something. And I think to just kind of convert that into real language, it's really, in our world, in the food industry, really the understanding of the consumer need. So we have to remember that there is somebody consuming our products at the end. So it's always about that underlying consumer need or a motivation to effectively buy or consume our products. And it's generally not considered that insightful if it's not going to create some sort of opportunity. That doesn't mean it isn't insightful, but you know, it also needs to be useful to the business that you're working within. So I would say the definition is always looking at the underlying consumer need. And I think people get very mixed up between that and data, so or information. So the information might be something like shoppers are leaving the category. Well, that's just information. That isn't insight. That's not telling you why.
It's not,
And it's getting to that why and that deep level of understanding, which often is born out of a real emotional human thing. So, you know, shoppers were leaving the ready meals category during COVID, you know, we know there's like that top level, you know, because people were scratch cooking more. Well, why were people scratch cooking more? Because they had more time, but also because of the comfort and enjoying being together with other people, you know, so the insight is getting, and I don't know, I haven't actually, this is just me hypothesizing, but, you know, in terms of really getting to that root cause, it is, that's the insight. It's not the behavior itself. It's the reason behind the behavior that's the insight.
Yeah. And the other important thing to note is you're talking about the consumer, because it's really important to remember the difference between the consumer and the customer. So the person that is consuming the product versus the person that is buying the product.
Yes.
And that can sometimes be very different.
Yeah. And I think that's when I think back to when I was a young developer, I didn't really get that.
No.
You know, the difference between consumer and shopper. So obviously the person that's going to eat the product versus the person that's going to buy the product. And the easiest way to think about that is kids' products. You know, you are not trying to influence, you're trying to influence the shopper, but you're also trying to meet that child's needs. They're two different things, and there's two different levels of insight that you would need to understand that. And the other thing is that we mustn't confuse data with insight. There are lots of little data points. They need converting to information, and then that needs converting to insight. And I already feel like I am getting too like category insight speak, and people might be thinking, what are you talking about, Amy?
No, I think it's really good, because this is why I thought this is a really good podcast to do, because you have got this kind of deep knowledge of this, because you have had the benefit of working in the category in a big chilled foods manufacturing environment category department. And I'm finding this really interesting, and I'm wishing that I could have listened to a podcast like this when I was a concept technologist or a product developer.
Yeah.
Because it's this old thing that I always say. We all think we should know something in our jobs.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of thing that I kind of knew. And I knew all the language, and I knew what we were trying to get out of consumer insights. But actually hearing something like this, which is stripping back, we're not talking about the category that we're working in, or, you know, Donna working in the ready meals category at Marks and Spencer's is working at the moment. We're stripping it right back, and we're talking about the bones of insight and what that means. I think that is, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, audience, but I think this is going to be really helpful to people. So keep going with the,
okay,
with the geeky insight knowledge.
Yeah, and I think that's, it was always a passion of mine whilst I was working in that insight team, to help MPD and commercial teams understand, well, not just, but they were the teams that I worked with the most. And I used to run training on this sort of thing, because informal, not like formal training, but whenever I was in a new triangle or whatever you want to call it, I was always like, right, let's just cut all out all the crap. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about insight, because it can be a little bit confusing, and, you know, it, lots and lots of charts and all of that category stuff that goes on.
And it's almost like the insight is that nugget of information that makes everything else make sense.
Yeah.
And it can be something really small.
Yeah. And then, so let's think about all the places where you get insight from, because I know we can get bogged down, particularly when you work in a big manufacturer or retailer, in things like Kantar data, Nielsen data. They absolutely have their place, but they are not just the only place where you can cultivate insight from. So you should be looking, and you don't have, it doesn't just have to be the insight team that are doing this. So all teams should be observing consumer behavior when they're out in store, or looking at new trends, looking at other sources of information on consumer behavior. There's lots of them out there, but also looking outside of your own category, looking outside of food altogether, because sometimes behavior in other categories or areas can lead to some insights. So thinking about like plant-based, I'm sure there were signs within other industries that were showing that people were wanting to move towards plant-based, you know, actually looking at a macro level and starting to think people are caring about the planet more, people are worrying about their health. And actually plant-based, so you're talking about earlier, is a really good example where on the top level, you might just say, oh, well, people are wanting to eat more because they're worried about animals. Well, we know that's not true, that a lot of people choosing plant-based diets, it isn't about that, it's about health. And then when you start to dig down, you know, the ultimate consumer fear or need there is, I don't want to die young.
That's a really interesting point, because that's why that part of the industry has exploded, because it's suddenly a much bigger proportion of society.
Yeah. Because that need is a much greater need. You know, there's people that care about animals, but everybody cares about themselves and they don't want to die. And we're getting, I know I sound really dramatic when I'm saying that, but I think the reason I'm doing that is to show you that that's the real insight. That's the real emotion, the consumer emotion behind that.
And when you look at, when I was working in retail, we were already starting to talk about, you know, sustainability of packaging and that kind of, and that has all fed into this plant-based explosion as well.
Yeah. So lots of different factors that come together. So lots of different nuggets of information that are about different things that all come down to one underlying consumer need. So it can be something like that, because there's part of that that's a consumer passion. It might be, you know, there is the need that is for the health benefits, but the passion is, I want to save the earth, you know. I don't mean to be flippant in the way I'm saying it. I'm just trying to make it as basic as possible, because that's when something is a true insight, it shouldn't need like three paragraphs to explain it. It's really getting to the heart.
I don't want to die, and I don't want the planet to explode.
They're the insights, but they really are, you know, when you get right down to a level, and that's important and is helpful to give you direction for your business. Basically, that's why we want to get really, really low down in that kind of hierarchy of what is the underlying insight. I think we can often just get stuck on the surface of saying, oh, well.
And I think there's a danger of overcomplicating things.
Yeah.
So I think another reason why we wanted to do a podcast on this is we've been talking about product briefs, new range briefs. And sometimes you may receive a brief and think, this doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, or I feel like a key piece of information is missing from this. And I think insights can help enable you to push back and have a conversation about adapting that brief or changing it slightly, or thinking, actually, before we start work on this, I think we need to agree what the key piece of insight is for our target consumer.
Yeah. So it's always important to have the insight team or the category team or whatever right at the start of that process. I would even argue that it's a step back from that, and actually the brief shouldn't be even be being sent out until the insight team at a supplier and the insight team at the retailer or, you know, wherever have done the pre-work to that.
Yeah, but it doesn't always work like that.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
And that's why you need to have the confidence this is to push
it back. This is my aspiration, but that is what should happen. And it does, you know, it does happen in some organisations, but it's really hard. And it's hard when you work in a smaller business as well. And I know that from experience. And I kind of, when I worked in a commercial role, I did all my own category at the time. I think there wasn't anybody. I mean, I was doing everything, we know that. When I was in that role, I was writing specs as well. Like, it's a whole different story. But when you are in that smaller business and there isn't the resource and the people with that deep understanding of category insight, it can be quite hard to then push back, because you feel like you're in a position of not understanding it as well. And that's why I'm so passionate about MPD teams particularly having some level of training and understanding of what makes an insight and what makes it insightful.
Yeah, and that's why just having that basic understanding of what that insight is, because it makes it so clear. And you've got a really good example, totally not food related, which I think is really sums up what we've spoken about so far, and how an insight can at first sight not seem actually related or can be at odds with the product that you're talking about.
Yes. So my example, this is from some insight training I got many years ago, don't know how many years ago now, and it is Persil. So they had the strap line in their marketing, which is dirt is good, which when you're standing back and you're like, what? I thought they were about getting clothes clean.
Yeah.
And actually the insight within that, when they've dug down and dug down, is that the deep insight is parents want to allow their kids to be able to run around and have fun and dig in the mud because, you know, that's what kids should be able to do.
But they can't
help themselves getting stressed about the fact that they're never going to get the clothes clean. So actually Persil are taking away, you know, the insight there is dirt is good, dirt is fun. We're taking away.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
We've got the solution.
Yeah. I mean, other brands are available. This is just the one that was used in the training that I did a number of years ago. But that's really always stuck with me.
Yeah.
That is the insight, you know, is the underlying, I want my kids to be happy and have fun is what matters. And then
it's really
that's
clever.
Been converted. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really clever because they're giving their consumer the permission that they need.
Yeah.
And taking, it's that thing about what's the problem that you need to solve. And they are giving that permission to their consumer to let their kids get really dirty and don't worry about it because we're here. It's really clever.
Yeah. And that's the point, is that generally an insight, not always, but generally an insight is something where it is a consumer tension or a frustration from a consumer, something, you know, I want to be this or I want to do this, but I can't because of this. And that's what becomes the insight within there. So where things are contradicting each other, or it can be just because of the passions of that consumer. But it's the reality is that it's usually about emotion. It's not about a behavior. It's the bit inside. You have to remember that we are making products for humans to eat.
Yeah.
So what's the human emotion?
Yeah, another really good example of recent innovations in the food industry, I think, is they're generally smaller businesses or startups that are using waste product to create products. So Ruby's in the Rubble, for example, amazing ketchup that's made from waste tomatoes. The insight there is similar to what we were talking about before about sustainability. It's so obvious. That product wouldn't have been created based on an insight knowingly.
But that's the thing. Insight. There are insights all around us.
Yes.
And I think my experience of working in big corporate is you can often get bogged down in all of the other information that you've got.
Yeah.
If you haven't got data and numbers that prove it and prove it to the board,
it can't be right.
And that's just not true.
Yeah.
And I know people that work in branded businesses. I've not really done much with brands, but I've got clients that work in branded businesses. And sometimes they are, I guess it would be the same as small startups in that they've got more free license to take a leap of faith and say, this is our hypothesis, because often you need that. Because if you're thinking about the process of even identifying the insights that you need, you kind of need to say, okay, we know these bits. What don't we know? So you might have I'm just thinking about an insight session where you write loads and loads of post-it notes and you know all of these things, but then you identify where the gaps are in what you do know. Sometimes you have to hypothesize what that gap might be and then see if there's evidence to support it.
Yeah. So everything that we're talking about reminds me of what you can do if you're in a small business, and what even in a big business working in NPD is, for me, this is all about keeping your innovation tank filled up. So in a previous episode, we've talked about making sure that your innovation tank is filled up. So you're running on your development mind is running on the fuel that you've gathered from all the insights, in inverted commas, that are all around you. But you've got to be going out and finding them and accessing the information that's giving you that interest and tank full of information that you need to be able to sort of gather all of those nuggets of information to understand what the insight might be.
Yeah.
And for me, that's when we're talking about trends, you know, the food people is an amazing source of information on trends globally. IGD, reading the grocer, going out, doing food safaris and that kind of thing. I mean, you know, it's all of that kind of stuff that is really important for you personally to be in the right frame of mind to understand what those consumer insights might be.
Yeah. And my build on that, as the insight person, would be that is still just data points at this point. You know, that's that isn't getting to the golden nugget. You need to pull that together with the consumer, you know, the other data that you've got. And that's why I get really frustrated when insight people don't go on the trawls, because they really should be. And, you know, and it's why it's so important to be joined up between departments, because if you work in silos and you're like, oh, well, we're just about, it can still be your responsibility to look at food trends and all of that sort of thing in NPD. And it can still just be the responsibility to get the data and stuff in the insight team. But you need to join those dots together to actually come up with the true insight that matters. So it really is this, I feel it in my chest because I get really passionate about it. It's that upfront working together way before the briefs, way before anything. You've got to get close. NPD and insight and category need to be close from the start, and commercial as well, but you just have to be.
And do you think that happens in bigger businesses? I can't really remember. Do you think it's acceptable? Is it accepted within the businesses that the category insight manager goes on the trawls, or is it quite separate? And would it be the done thing?
Yeah, I don't think it would be the done thing. It was the done thing for me because I used to push my...
And do you think that's because you'd worked in development?
Yeah.
So
there was an element of having an interest, but also I'm a lot pushier than a lot of people might have been, and could see the benefits to everybody for that to happen. Big business, you know, that's a whole nother episode, isn't it? In terms of the size of a business can really create silos, and it all depends on the structure of the business as well. When I worked in Marketing Insight, we were a group function, so we weren't like
it was
restructured
harder.
A number of times, but we weren't so you have to really, really fight for, and I think we need to do a whole episode on this, you know, making sure that all points of that triangle of commercial, marketing and development, and technical sometimes as well, is important. Well, technical is always important, but, you know, depending on the category, how much involvement technical need to have at the start of the process. But those things, that's a whole another ball game, it is so important.
And so for businesses, because it's normally bigger businesses that would have an insights team, what tips do you have for businesses that don't have an insights team?
I think, well, even like medium-sized businesses that have one person that's trying to do everything, it's not feeling like that you have to have all of this data. It doesn't matter if you're not spending tens of thousands of pounds on Nielsen and Kantar and whatever, although they do have cheaper options available. You know, it is, the importance is that everybody is thinking about consumer at the heart of everything.
So it's taking those data points that I've gathered in my innovation tank and getting them all out. So I love the insight sticky note thing, getting everything that you know out, looking for the gaps, filling those gaps, and then going back to see.
Yeah. And then you can use different techniques. So there's lots of different techniques out of there, but there's simple ones like the five whys. So you know, you have the question at the top and you're like, why are we losing shoppers? And then you delve deeper and deeper and deeper, keep going. It doesn't have to just be five. It's just, you know, it should be a minimum of five to get to the underlying insight, which is the emotion. If you've not got to an underlying human, real human, if you're still saying, well, because they're not shopping in Tesco's anymore or whatever, that is not the insight. You've got to get down to that real human emotion. And there's lots of other techniques that you can use, and things like random links and linking things in different categories and thinking about how a different category, what the insight might be there. loads and loads of different techniques, which I can help you with.
Yeah. I feel like I want to do another episode with like a live delving into what insight the insight delving. Might be. Yeah.
We might have to do that on video with the with my flip chart that's behind me with my post-it notes on that I've got behind me now.
It's a really interesting subject. I really enjoy it. And it's something that I really missed when I say this a lot, when I came out of retail world and I started podology. I really missed access to those people and that data. And, you know, it's something that, and I suppose what I would say to people that are working in those businesses that do have insights teams, use them.
Yeah.
I mean,
and as somebody that sat in an insight team that wasn't always used and sometimes had to be, almost had to fight to be heard. It's so frustrating. God, so definitely use them.
And there's something really in that, isn't there? Because there are small startups who would kill to get that information that insight team is sat on. And those developers that are in that business that have access to it probably aren't using it to the full advantage.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether there's like a fear. Is there a fear within, do they think, I'm wondering whether people in the development team think, well, what are the questions that I should be asking to the insights team?
Do you know what? I was just, when you said that, well, just before you said that, I was thinking there's actually a message to people out on the insight teams as well to be conscious of the fact that everybody is not trained in this stuff and doesn't necessarily know the language. So making yourself more approachable and not dazzling people with charts and information and making yourself more approachable, it's going to help everybody, because if you're more approachable, you're more likely to get involved. You know, people are more likely to want to get you involved, and it just works better. You know, think about the other departments you're working with as your consumers, you know, and what is the human need that they've got. And it's not to look stupid. Because I just think I always feel like I'm bitching about Kantar or something, and I'm not. It's just the terminology. I just remember, you know, that penetration, way to purchase.
I was just gonna say that.
I was just like, I don't know, understand what
this
means. But
once you understand that, it is so insightful.
Yeah.
It's so insightful. And one of the best things when I was doing podology early on, when we'd launched with Ocado would share that data, and it was like gold
dust. Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. And they would show me the penetration data, and that is. And bearing in mind, I'd worked in two retailers and I'd worked in a big manufacturer. It wasn't until I had my own product and I'd gone through all that hard work to get my own products on the shelf that I truly understood what that Kantar data, and that tells you a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't be the only person in development.
So, I mean, obviously you already know that it's a passion of mine to help to train people in development to understand that stuff better, because it's so important.
This is so exciting, because this can make a massive impact on the briefs that are sent to you, how you interpret those briefs, the products that you develop from those briefs. This is so exciting.
And also, ultimately, you know, we're talking from an NPD perspective, if your products will be successful and then, you know, grow the business and also give you the credibility within the business that you are not just coming up with ideas based on, you know, it tastes nice or it looks nice. It's based on pure insight. Therefore, it's much more likely to succeed, and you're not going to come up against the barriers that you often come up against with other departments, where they're thinking, oh, here they come again with some idea that's going to cost us a fortune and it isn't going to work, because things will start to work and, you know, it will be successful for your department and the whole business.
Yeah. See, I think people are going to have enjoyed this episode, Amy. Okay.
I had a little bit of a moment where I was like, isn't this really dull to talk about this? But I think it's because, you know.
It's when you know something, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's when you've done something for so long and you think, well, surely everybody should know this already. And it's giving that information to people. And sometimes it is about sort of going back to the basics, I think.
Yeah. I have also got like total imposter syndrome, where I'm like, people in insight are going to because I was never actually trained, you know, I didn't do a degree in marketing or anything. So I'm like, people are going to say, well, she said that was insight, but that's really category. So that's the point. We all feel like that, isn't it? Like
exactly. And I think it's about stripping off that fear and talking about it, because I've admitted we're revealing all sorts of things on this episode. I'm revealing that I didn't understand the Kantar data that I was seeing when I was actually a product developer. But I didn't.
I didn't even understand it when I first moved into Insight. So, you know.
And we can't be the only people. And that's why we wanted to do this episode. Because you still, let's face it, you still muddle through and do a good job. But this is about refining what you're doing and making sure that you're doing, utilizing the information that you have to develop the best products, to get the best outcome for your company, to get the best outcome for the consumer.
Yeah.
And, you know, build this brilliant industry that we love so much.
Absolutely. We haven't got a summary of top tips there because we really wanted to just have a discussion, and we will probably come back to this subject at another time. But I think
the biggest top tip is talk about insight and find that person in your business.
Yes.
And develop that relationship with them.
Yeah. So I hope you found that useful. And yeah, we would love, as always, to hear your thoughts on it. I know we've got some people that work in Insight already in the Facebook community that
brilliant.
We have. So
yeah. please let us know.
So if you're not already in the Facebook group, if you go onto Facebook and you search Over Food Sake Community, there is a group of us there that carry on the conversation after the podcast. So do come and join us. Thanks
for your insights, Amy.
Thanks. And we'll see you next week, everyone.
See you next week. Bye. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope you've enjoyed it. Take care and catch us next week.
And if you'd like to get in touch with us personally, Lucy is available for consultancy advice and is able to offer a free discovery call. Find her on Instagram at OutToLaunchMPD or over on LinkedIn.
And if you want to reach out to Amy for any coaching or facilitation support, then you can find her at Amy Wilkinson Coaching on Facebook, Instagram or LinkedIn. Thanks again. I'm Lucy.
And I'm Amy.
See you next time.